welcome back, everybody. It's time for our second part of our series called Waterworks here at OC Talk Radio. Trying to explain the complexity of how our water works in this county and what we need to focus on to keep it working today and tomorrow. Program sponsored by Chuck Gibson for Santa Margarita Water District Water Board 2020 Committee, ID number 1350189. All right, having that out of the way, we're pleased to have with us today the person who's putting this series together for us here as a public service and as a way to bring people aware and up to date with the complexities of what's going on and the potential pitfalls and problems along the way, is the man who spent much of his life as a legislative analyst and then took that skill and turned it into what will be his third term here on the Santa Margarita Water District in the upcoming election, Chuck Gibson. Welcome, sir.
How are you doing, Paul?
You make it sound so easy, and it's so complex, this whole notion of where the water comes. And as we said in the last episode, the first episode, people don't think about it. I turn the tap on, the water comes out, end of story. It isn't until the water doesn't come out, then we're suddenly shocked. Oh my goodness, what's the problem? Why didn't anybody tell me about this? Well, that's what we're doing today. We're telling people about not only how this whole system works, but where we should be worried, where we should be planning for the future. And then, having sent the alarm, we're going to talk specifically about the steps, like you did last time, that you guys have already taken and the future steps you're going to take to preserve and protect this precious supply of water that we rely on. The purpose of today's episode is to do what nobody ever wants to tackle. Today, let's see in 20 minutes if we can't explain to people one time how water flows in California. Let's start with one basic assumption that you said to start with. Almost all of our water has to come from somewhere else, because basically in the southern half of the county, we have no groundwater. We're not a desert, but we're an arid area that has no groundwater in it. So you got 3 million people living in overall Orange County who just assume that I can go out and drill and get water anytime I want to. It ain't that easy, is it?
No, and I think the first thing to easily understand is that in the first question everybody asks is, where's our water coming from? In South Orange County, south of the El Toro Y, and I think most everybody knows that line of demarcation, and 600,000 people.
Wow.
Virtually all of their drinking water is coming from hundreds of miles away. And it's either from the State Water Project, the San Joaquin Sacramento Delta, the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta.
The aqueducts, these open air aqueducts that flow all the way down from Northern California.
And then the water flows uphill.
Yeah.
And it requires great power usage. By the way, we'll have a program, I think, that we'll talk about, though, the energy-water nexus, because there is a definite nexus there.
I agree. That's a fascinating topic in itself. I'm always amazed that the water will flow from Northern California all the way down here in these open trenches and not get disrupted, get evaporated, get diverted. I don't even know how it gets here. It's not just one big downhill flow. So, like you said, it has to go up and over hills and everything. But we'll talk about that in another show. Just know that your water is coming from there or
Colorado.
Colorado, even further.
So that's a fundamental fact of life. And where our district, Santa Margarita Water District, fits in with the 10 or so other agencies that are providing water service in South Orange County is that we're getting our water from Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, which owns the aqueduct and runs the aqueduct that brings the water all the way here from the Colorado. And they bought a stake in the State Water Project. So the State Water Resources Control Board really runs the State Water Project.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a great deal of influence through, I'll call them MET now, rather than spelling out the whole name, through MET. Okay, so coming back again, we are trying to keep our water locally by developing local supplies and recycling as much water as we can.
Right, so which only makes sense. If you start with the fact, which most people don't realize, that there ain't no water here, or very little of it here, and all of it comes from a long way away, it would only make sense, you would think, to try and find new sources to rely upon. We've only got two of them. And to find new ways to save and store water here when it does rain, or to find ways to squeeze more out of every drop. And you've done all of those things. We'll talk about that. But let's continue this
right.
this convoluted tale of how water comes to us here in Southern California. Don't have it in the ground, so we got to pull it up from way up in north. The state has a project that they use this giant, the deltas, I guess, up in the...
It was designed in the 60s. And it's not working the way it should be working.
Well, let's talk about that, because that I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but I thought Governor Brown solved that whole problem here. We're going to spend, I don't know, billions or trillions to redirect the flow, and we were going to build tunnels under the delta, and we were going to do all these things to in the event of earthquakes, and we were going to build up the, I guess there's little sand levees and stuff that keep this stuff, explain all that. I thought it was all done. You're saying no.
No, he was probably on the 5-yard line, to use a football analogy, and then the ball got fumbled. Mm. And it got fumbled in a way that he couldn't put through the Delta fix, is what he was calling it, with twin tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Be a cost-beneficial way to circulate, to create a new circulation system through the Delta to save the ecology as well as provide an adequate amount of water for agricultural and urban users.
And because the problem is what? Because of climate change or whatever you call it, we're getting less water in the Delta? Or we're drawing more of it, or both?
The problem is a circulation system. Getting water, the Sacramento River water, through the Delta, and the San Joaquin, through the Delta, there's a circulation system that was designed long ago, and it isn't efficient.
So water gets wasted or lost.
It becomes brackish when it shouldn't. Think of it as your circulation system that needs to be replumbed. And as a result of the poor plumbing that's happening now, we're not getting the flows either for agriculture or for urban areas that we had hoped to get.
And that's been the battle from the beginning. How much of it gets drawn away because we've got massive agricultural needs in the Central Valley that draws upon that as well. They need water. They want water. And then the population is, of course, booming and tripling and doubling in California all the time. So we've got more demand from both ends on that water system. And you're saying that the plumbing is just bad and it's not working the way it should.
Right. And it's destined to break down. And it took a long time to get to this point, but it'll continue to gradually degrade. We're putting millions upon millions into bolstering the system, improving it, a little patchwork here and there. But the Delta fix was a solution, and it just wasn't acceptable to certain people who are concerned with the fisheries and the environment, worried that the flows wouldn't be adequate for them.
For salmon and other things.
Yeah, and I do think through some misunderstandings. I think the science behind 2009, they called it a biological opinion,
mm-hmm.
okay, that governs how much water you can take out without interfering with the biology there, is outdated. We had new science and then yet another biological opinion, but there are people that won't accept it. There's a lot of factors, but the governor was not able to get his plan through, so Governor Newsom took it up. And now he wants to go down to one tunnel, which won't be as economical, but we're certainly better than nothing.
Right.
We're supportive of what he's trying to do, and we're applauding him for keep going. But
and where is the state of that? Is that going to get passed? We're a supermajority state. If one party decides they want to do something, you would think they have the power to put anything through. Okay, well, without spending too much more time talking about the Delta, because I know that's going to be a future show in and of itself in this Waterworks series, give us a way to summarize where we're at today here.
Well, I would like to say this, that my number one priority, and I'm advocating this with all of our Orange County colleagues, is to protect the Delta flow.
Without that, we've lost one of the two major sources of our
right.
water.
And the implications of that are enormous because it means that our water quality will be reduced. It's a secondary characteristic of the water quality, but it's called total dissolved solids, where we have the water from Colorado and the state project water blended. The massive treatment plants were designed for blended water. And if we have zero flow from Colorado, our salinity goes up.
Hmm.
So that's a serious water quality issue.
So we've got the Delta bringing us one thing. Let's talk about Colorado quickly. Where is that at? Because I keep hearing that Lake Mead and all these other giant storage facilities keep going down and down and down. There's more straws in the stream further up. Las Vegas, Arizona, they're sucking more water out of it. And here we are relying upon it so heavily as we continue to grow and need water.
Well, the answer on that is Metropolitan Water District has done nothing short of an ingenious job, a masterful job in securing water rights in being good stewards of that water and really basically putting us in the head of the line over everybody else in terms of water use on the Colorado. But I think something very serious to concern is that we are all part of the Western United States.
Yeah.
And there are several states, seven states that depend upon this water. So we are responsible, but we have put ourselves in such a position as to basically guarantee us adequate supplies from Colorado because of the various arrangements that we were able to enter into.
So again, though, we've got a situation in the Western United States here where it's getting warmer, which means that water's not falling as much. The reservoirs are dropping. The water that we rely upon is less, and we got more people drawing upon that water. So we've got less supply and more demand.
Right. I watched that very carefully because in 2026, there's going to be a review of the agreements. And here's what happens.
Between all the states and everybody else.
And the federal government's key there because they're overseeing all this. And even though we have the agreements, they can step in and change things.
Right.
And so if we have a serious drought that disadvantages some of the other states, our Commissioner of Bureau of Reclamation can step in and change the allocation. So we can't go to sleep on the Colorado River.
Exactly. We can't just assume that just because we came up with some good agreements way back when that puts us in a priority position that it'll always stay that way. All right, you got those two things flowing in. And then where does that water go? It goes to whom? This Metropolitan Water District brings in from the north. Who brings it in from Colorado?
Well, that's Metropolitan.
Oh, both.
They own the aqueduct. They own all the facilities, and they operate it, and they've maintained it really well.
So they're bringing the water in, but this is a process that could easily get disrupted. It's how many miles? Hundreds of miles, it seems like.
If I remember, the aqueduct itself is like a little over 120 miles. So It compared to the 400 miles of the California aqueduct, short distance, right?
Right.
But it's still, they go across earthquake faults and
up and over hills and all sorts of stuff.
So we need to have one of our goals that are bringing it back down to you at our water district is to have 6 months supply.
And that's what you talked about the last time. So rather than just rely upon this distant source, it has its own challenges. The supply is falling and the demand is growing. You've taken the lead here in Santa Margarita, you and the other commissioners here, to do what? To find more ways to save water here, to find water here, and to keep water here?
Right. I think that first I want to congratulate our residents, our consumers, for being water conscious. I've always believed that people will do the right thing to not waste water if they're just given the information.
Exactly, right. Otherwise, I'm just going to turn the tap on and let it flow because you didn't tell me there's any problem.
So our district has taken the approach to get out the information, to provide some incentives through rebates for turf removal or helping people re-landscape into more drought-tolerant landscapes.
I've taken advantages of those things.
And so we've done
district,
a little bit of that, plus the fact that due to changes in state standards, the new construction uses a lot less water. The homes are designed, the developments are designed, so that while we've grown quite a bit in our district, we use 20% less water than we did, let's say, 5-10 years ago.
Say that again. So even though we've had phenomenal growth here, and I don't know what the growth rate is, but we can see it everywhere, the Ladera ranches of the world being thrown up. Even though there's more people here than there ever have been, we're using less water than
Correct.
We used to?
And it's an interesting issue because one of my friends that, you know, when I first ran, he was the president of the board, and I remember the first discussion I had with him when he was president, and we were talking about water conservation. He says, yeah, but I still have to pay as much, if not more, for my water, even if I conserve. And that is a counterintuitive thing. And I think the way you need to think about it, and I hope people think about it, is we're paying for a basic infrastructure that needs to be maintained, whether you use it or not. What I like to call an optimum level of conservation. And secondly, I think we need to provide people some room to have flexibility in their lifestyle. So our district is certainly not one who propounds that you should use only a specified amount of water. We can provide guidelines and we can structure our rates to encourage people to use a certain amount of water. But it's our hope to be able to supply all the water they need to live the different lifestyles that they want.
But the good news is you have been able to convince people or find ways to use less.
Right.
And through that, we haven't had to import as much water as you would think we would have had to.
I would dare say that it's partly that, but also mostly because of water use efficiency. The recycling has caused us to use far less water, imported water.
How does that work? So walk me through. So in addition to getting people to use less, you're finding ways, I say, to get more out of every drop.
Right.
To reuse water again.
Right.
How does that work?
Let's take Las Flores,
right.
Nice
That's,
size community.
It's actually where I live, right next to Ladera.
And we have found a way there to sort of replumb the irrigation systems that are used for their common areas outdoors and reduce the use of drinking water that's now being used outdoors by, I don't have the
Because they were taking, again, we're paying for all this water to come all these hundreds of miles from Colorado up north. And then we're taking that fresh, pure water, and we're putting it on plants in the green belts.
Right. Before I get too deeply into Las Flores, I just say that at Calafia in Mission Viejo was one of our first large projects where we, I'll call it retrofitting, but we replaced the drinking water system with a recycled purple pipe. They use purple pipes.
Yeah, we see those all over the place.
You don't have to drink out of that, but they're good for outdoor use.
So it's okay if it's not totally potable, but it's perfect enough to put on the grass.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, we can use it for construction dust control. And
oh, yeah, right.
That kind of thing, which we, can you imagine using drinking water for dust control?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That in a way to me is a waste. So one of our significant projects that we have to do, and it'll probably start next year. It takes a lot of planning time for these projects. And I think that's what people, you know, right now, if everything's okay, what's the need to invest?
Always the question, why am I going to worry about tomorrow? Everything's great today.
But if you wait until tomorrow, it's too late.
Yeah,
so we started with this a couple of years ago, and we got the environmental work on the Las Flores Enhanced Water Reliability Project done just this year. And we plan to go to construction next March or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the community will get plenty of notice on the roads that are affected and whatnot. But to over 200 acre feet, just think about this, are being used drinking water to water the plants outdoors that we're going to replace with recycled water.
Wow.
Which takes pressure off the Colorado and the State Water Project
right. And
goes to the more water use efficiency. And we got a federal grant money to help us with the project, about $750,000 from what they call the Bureau of Reclamation Water mm-hmm. Smart Program. So there's a great example of a project moving forward. We have another one that's on the drawing board that is much larger in scale in Rancho Santa Margarita, which we're working with the community on that to see, because it's going to be far more expensive and extensive. So, but that's on the drawing board.
So real quickly, we rely on two main water sources because we don't have any here. In the last episode, you talked also about not just getting people to use less and not only just reclaiming and reusing some of the precious water that we do have. You're trying to find some new sources as well to add to the two main sources. Talk about some of the projects you guys are looking at.
I'm really passionate about desalination. Our district in its strategic plan has provided space in there for purchase of a limited amount. And the reason for it's a limited amount is that it is very expensive. I mean, if you look at Colorado River water or State Water Project water, it's going to be around $1,100 per acre foot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's increasing every year in cost.
I'll bet, right.
So
as the demand goes up and the supply goes down, that's only logical.
The cost of desal, and I don't, you know, I'm doing round numbers, so people can jump up and down and say I'm wrong. But it's anywhere from $2,000 to $2,500 an acre foot. However, the thing about ocean desal is it's a unique new source of water.
Mm.
So when I've testified at the State Lands Commission, at the Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board in support of the Huntington Beach Poseidon Project, because we will take water from that project if it's at a reasonable price and can be made available to us to offset some of the State Water Project, but also to encourage the development of desal as another alternative source in case something happens with our other imported supplies.
Exactly.
So that's one. But we have three projects that we're in. We have a memorandum of understanding on Poseidon, which is an agreement to look at the purchase of that water, and we have price parameters on it. We also have one with Doheny Desalin. It's a different project.
I didn't even know about that one.
Doheny is a project that would be a subsurface intake of water, whereas in Huntington Beach, it's going to be a pipe that goes into the ocean, and it's not beneath the surface. So it's a little more environmentally objectionable to people. But I'm convinced that they're taking enough precautions to where it will have, some would argue, significant, I say relatively insignificant impact on the environment.
Okay.
They're offsetting things enough. But down south, with the ocean intake subsurface through slant drilling, and it's a relatively new technology, then that could be more environmentally acceptable, could even be less expensive. We've got an MOU with South Coast Water Agency, and we may go there. And then we had a third one, Oceanus, which is at Camp Pendleton, which is very much in the developmental stage, which is really an energy project as much as it is a desal project, where they're going to use solar energy to pump water uphill during the day, and then at night they'll pump it downhill to fire the desal plant.
Interesting.
And we'll get a share of that water under the agreement.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking more in depth about all these projects, because it isn't just about protecting the resources we have, and that's a big critical thing as we started with. It's finding new resources for tomorrow and using the water as intelligently as we can. Thank you for this simple explanation of what most of us aren't even aware of, the difficulties and the far-range thinking that you're doing at the Santa Margarita Water District. To be commended. I hope you continue your work, and I look forward to having you back and continue these conversations about how water works here in Southern California. This is a series of programs produced by Orange County Talk Radio and sponsored by Chuck Gibson for Santa Margarita Water District Water Board 2020 Committee, ID 1350189. Send us your questions and we'll answer them here on this forum. We look forward to having you back to learn more about how water works here in our county.